Read the English passage. It's going to be taken from Acts chapter 14, and it's verses 1 through 7. If you'd like to follow along, it's on page 822 of the Pew Bible. So Acts chapter 14, verses 1 through 7. At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went, as usual, into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. But the Jews, who refused to believe, stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there, speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others with the apostles. There was a plot afoot among the Gentiles and Jews, together with their leaders, to mistreat them and stone them. But they found out about it and fled to the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe, and to the surrounding country, where they continue to preach the good news. Here ends the reading of God's word. You may be seated.
The pressure is on with the clock, given this play and the buffet. And at a buffet, you can choose whatever you'd like to eat, right? You know, you can stack up on the basturma or whatever, the cheese, the fruit and vegetables, or you can go heavy, whatever. I don't even know what's at the buffet, but we all get to choose what we want to eat, right? Some of us love a steak cooked medium rare. Others love it well done. Some of us love seafood. Others can't stand the smell of it. Some are adventurous with the choices of what to eat. Others stick to what they know and have experienced. We love that we have a choice in what we eat. Our choices are not only in what we eat. We have choices, preferences in entertainment. Last weekend, my in-laws and us sat down to watch a movie, and literally for 45 minutes, we scrolled through Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, regular TV, and couldn't agree on what to watch. With five people in the room, we just went to our phones and played our games. And it doesn't help that there's like 50 million types of movies and shows and all that stuff, and even apps and different types of phone. We choose to listen to a particular style of music. We wear what we consider fashionable. We read a particular genre of books. We choose to watch a particular movie. Some of us will even get into arguments on how we consider our choices, our preferences, are superior than others. Some love red, others love blue, some use Macs, others use PCs. Some of us will buy a foreign-made car, others will buy American only. While living in Jersey, North Jersey will cheer for the New York teams, South Jersey will cheer for the Philadelphia teams. And I thought that in sports, people would get angry and verbal fights. Actually, those major cities, Boston, New York, Philadelphia, those fans are brutal. At least with sports, maybe when the season is over, when the game is over, there's some kind of cordiality, some kind of respect maybe for the teams. But then when you get into politics, either side has become divisive and destructive. With the choice of food, music, book, genre, movies, politics, sports, etc., we can argue, we can calmly discuss, because us Armenians do that very well. Or we even die trying. Sometimes we even die trying to convince others that our choices are right. I know we all know the famous quote that there are two things certain: death and taxes. We may choose not to pay. We may choose not to pay taxes. Well, we know what that ends up happening. You either get fined or get thrown in prison, or you try to escape the country. But with death, if you didn't know this, but with death, there's no way out of it. There's no choice in the matter. I mean, there could be something where we can choose to not wear our seatbelts, or we could choose to drive on the other side of the road if we're in the United States, and we can play with fire, and we can entertain dying earlier. But we can't choose when to die. We can pray to God for success, health, a good life, but with death, there's no way out of it. At some point, we're going to kick the bucket. At some point, we're going to go 6 feet under. At some point, we're going to die. And some of us desire it earlier. We can't control how we die. We can't choose how we die. But we have, we can't choose those things. We can't control those things. But we have planned to the last detail of who's going to preach at my funeral. What songs are we going to sing? Who's going to cater? We got everything planned out for the funeral. We don't have a choice with death. But the reality is, we have all faced that question, what will happen to me after I die? So what if you had the answer to the faith questions? What if you could speak right into the fear of some who have panic attacks because they don't know where they will be after the heart stops beating? What if you had the knowledge and you could be a real comfort to the person who's filling their lives up with anything and everything because deep down inside they've got a void of insecurity and fear and despair? What if you have the ability that you can share hope to a person who's struggling with depression? What if you have the answer to the person who's struggling with shame? What if you have the knowledge for the person who's physically become ill because they're guilty? Not what if. You do. Did you know that? Did you know that you have the ability to be able to speak into those? Not what if, you have that because of Jesus Christ. Paul and Barnabas, going from city to city, they're sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Not only were they helping the Jews connect the dots regarding the promises outlined in the Old Testament, they were also sharing to the Gentiles, non-Jews, the good news of Jesus Christ, that in this season of Christmas, he was born in a manger to journey for the sole purpose. This was his call, his job. Was the sole purpose of journeying to the cross and is the message of hope in a gloomy world. But as we see this passage, the reality is when it comes to Jesus, we're either all in or we're not. If Jesus is who he is, then he's the answer to the question of where I can be forgiven for my shame. If Jesus is going to the cross is the answer who can bear my guilt. Jesus going to the cross is the answer who can free me from my despair and my anxiety and my fear and give me hope. Jesus going to the cross is the answer in light of the fear of death. Jesus is the answer to the questions of how and where I can live forever. Yeah, we should be yelling amen. Paul and Barnabas, though, they get kicked out of cities for bringing this exact same message. Maybe providing answers to the promises made. And maybe because people were too set in their ways. They loved their old traditions. They loved what it is. And they can't handle this God-loving Jesus who dies for them. And we often do the same with God. We often kind of just say, no. You can't reign in that area of my life. Just this much. But this part I love. Don't take control over this part of my life. This part, okay. What is the first reaction when I ask the question, what's holding you back from being all in with Jesus? What's holding you back? Fully surrendering in all aspects, in direction of life, in money, in ambition, fully under God's lead. What's your first reaction? What when I asked that question, what came to mind? I don't know. Maybe that's the reaction. Or maybe too much change, too much fear, too much ridicule, too much mocking, too much harassment. Maybe you want to know more, actually. Maybe you're like, I actually want to give more to God, but I don't know how to do that. Maybe there's questions that are being asked. What's holding you back? And I'm not saying that, living a life with Jesus is all, you know, grasslands and land, flowing milk and honey and perfect, you know, rainbows and sheep and I don't know, whatever perfect image you have of a pristine life and all this stuff. You know, we all deal with junk. We all deal with trials. We all deal with situations. I mean, we could spend the whole hour in taking prayer requests, and I know that there's a lot of us. I'm sure if we took each one of you, wrote on a piece of paper, there'll be 3 or 5 things that we're dealing with, right? And we can spend the whole time in prayer. And I'm not saying that, you know, life is not going to be hard, but I promise, I'll go to my grave on this one. I promise it's so much easier to go through these things with Jesus than it is without. And the passage describes Paul and Barnabas. I love what it says. I've been reading the Message translation. I know it's just like a little bit of an easier way to read it. But Paul and Barnabas confidently went. It says boldly and freely went around sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Some of us are thinking, good for them. That's why we have missionaries. Yes, good. That's why we have pastors. Let them go do all that city to city, traveling around, sharing the good news. Whew, no skin off my back. I'll just keep cheering them on, and good job. And some of us are thinking, you know, it's just enough that I even make it to church. But to open my mouth about Jesus, I may lose my life, my job, my family may not talk to me. Things can go wrong. It's too much for me. And I love what it says here. They confidently, boldly going around sharing about who and what Jesus has done. So we're going to put some questions up for you. Are we confident the sun will come out tomorrow? Bet your bottom dollar or tomorrow there'll be sun. See, I'm getting ready for the play. Come on, people. Are we confident that the sun will come out tomorrow? Yes. Are we confident that Jesus was born of a Virgin Mary? Yes. Are we confident that Jesus fulfilled over 400 prophecies in the Old Testament? Yes. Are we confident that Jesus can do miracles? Are we confident that Jesus spoke and taught with an authority? That shouldn't get lower, okay? It should keep going. Are we confident that Jesus died on the cross? Yes. Are we confident that Jesus was resurrected and then appeared to the disciples? Yes. Okay, are we confident that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? Yes. Are we confident that this is the Word of God? Yes. Are we confident that Jesus will one day return? Are we looking forward to it? Yes. Amen, we're looking forward to it. Here's the problem with all these questions. 2,000 years ago, there were some Jews who refused to believe these bold, absolute truths about Jesus. And were going around poisoning the people. Literally, it says, building suspicion into the minds of those who were listening to the preaching of Paul and Barnabas. And the reality is, we've got the same going on now in this world. We've got all kinds of crazy worldly ideologies that the devil is the puppeteer and has control over and is doing everything possible from people actually listening and being confident and being bold about who Jesus is. Preventing people from actually surrendering and saying, I want to live, I want to believe in Jesus, I want to live for him, and I want to testify about him. We need to be aware of some of these crazy ideologies and some of these poisons. Jesus ain't the only way to heaven. Okay, this isn't my belief. I'm just saying that's what's being taught to us in different ways. You got to be a good person. That's the only way you can get into heaven. Nowadays, actually, good is defined. I don't know how good is actually defined. Some people may think this is good and this is good because it's comical and we laugh about it, but is it good? Do you guys follow what I'm saying? There's all kinds of crazy posts in the world about they think some things are good. The world actually is trying to empower you. It's all about you. It's all about your success, your education, your life. Just be you. And who cares about the world, the people, the neighbors, the community around you? It's about selfieing perfectly, puckering those lips in a particular way. It's about finding one's inner peace. Some more poison is about free to choose to do what I want to choose. You can't tell me how to live, even from the pulpit. And even if you get a chance to share what it is and how we should live, you get mocked, harassed, ridiculed, and been told that you're a Jesus freak. We would rather put our hope in the daily horoscope than what God says in the Word. You can't watch a decent movie or a show without God's design of marriage being mocked or considered irrelevant. We believe in the power of knocking on wood over the faith in Jesus. Should I keep going? We believe and we hope that the evil eye hanging in our car or at home will keep the devil out. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news is this. This God loves us so much that he sent his only son for you and for me so that you would not start believing in those crazy ideologies and stuff. He said, I love you so much that I'm going to send and I'm going to sacrifice my only son. I can't even imagine what that looks like, sacrificing my daughter. Sorry for you. But he says, I love you so much, and I'm going to send my son to you. And he's going to go to the cross for you. He's going to be born as a human being, and you're going to notice him. You're going to see him. He's going to teach with authority. He's going to do miracles, and he's going to journey to the cross for you because he loves you that much. He's going to go through so much torture and pain for you so that you don't have to go through that torture and pain because of our disobedience. And because of that, because of his perfect sacrifice on the cross, because the blood is shed, and that's what we're going to celebrate, because of that, he grants us a complete new slate if we understand and say, yeah, I've done wrong. I've offended you. I am sorry. And then he says, because of that, you are wiped clean. And every time God sees you, he doesn't see your sin. He sees the Son's blood on you that has cleansed you and made you righteous. And because of that, you get to be with him in heaven forever. You want to know about the question of what happens to me after I die? If we know Christ, and if we understand that, then we get to live forever. Amen? But here, the problem with that message, the problem with that gospel, is that it's polarizing. It's either you're all in, or you're not. It's either I'm giving my whole life for that, or I'm out. And it's not a buffet. It's not a choice. So I'm going to come in and just say, okay, you know what? I'll take the good works part. I'll take the love aspect. The discipline of Jesus, nope, I don't want to deal with that. I'll take, you know what, the promise that I should love my enemies. I should love others. But when it comes to, you know, my wallet, no, that's my control, my choice. But, you know, it's either all in or not. And I'm not saying that it's going to be an instantaneous change over, but it's going to be, I'm willing to surrender to the authority of who Christ is because I am all in for who he is. And I'm going to be willing to be transformed and to take all that junk and to be changed for the rest of my life because I'm looking forward to seeing him one day forever and ever. The good news of Jesus Christ ain't great. It's all in or we're not. Here's the problem. There's more problems. These Jews were going around creating mistrust, developing suspicion into the people in the town of Iconium, and there was a plot amongst the Gentiles to stone and mistreat Paul and Barnabas. So Paul and Barnabas leave to go to another town. Can you imagine while I'm getting up here to preach, right? And God forbid this happened, but some of you just got up and just started stoning me. Right? Started throwing, hey, shut up, no, you can't be talking about Jesus, no, you're crazy, right? Can you imagine, like, we could sit here freely and we could talk about Jesus. You drove here freely with your own choice to come and to stand and watch this bald, crazy man preach about Jesus. Can you imagine the freedom you have on that? what do I got to do to get a reaction? I mean, short of like tearing another part of my knee, like what do I got to do, people? Right? You have the freedom to come and listen. And these guys get pushed out of the city because there's some people that are going to come and stone them. But I love what it says at the end of this passage. And this is where we're going to camp for the next 5 minutes. They found out about the plot and they left for the surrounding cities. And we'll hear about what they do next week about that. But look at what it says. Where they continued to preach the good news. They didn't let this one experience silence them. You see, the reality is, the more you're in, the more you're sold out for Jesus, the more you're all in with Jesus, the more you share about Jesus, the more you're going to be mocked. The more you're going to face difficulty. The more you share the love and peace and joy and comfort of knowing Jesus to others, the more you're going to be harassed. The more you're going to be made fun of. Because the devil will attack you more. I'm going to promise you on that one. He's going to use all kinds of means to prevent you from talking about Jesus. If Jesus is who he is, then we shouldn't be silent either. You know, I'm not much into like, I'm going to say signs or something like that, but this morning, and I had a hard time. I had a hard time just concentrating. I had a hard time coming to church. I had a hard time. Buddy Phil saw my face when I walked. He's like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I have no idea. I'm distracted. I'm confused. I'm not comfortable with this message today. I don't know what's going on. I'm so scared. So I texted a couple people. I just say, please, they're not here today. They're in different places. I said, pray for me. I'm preaching this passage. I don't know what's going on, but there's something that's behind. I literally felt oppressed. And some of us can say, you know, that's just, you know, your chest is, you know, drank too much coffee and things. But literally, the devil is working so hard to make sure that I don't even get up here to speak the words that are coming out of this word. There's things like that in this world. The devil is this little puppeteer. He wants to make sure that not only I stay silent, not only the body of Christ, not only staff, not only, but us in general. Like you walk out to this doors and you go to your work. Don't talk about Jesus. Don't mention Jesus. You're going to lose your job. Don't do that. Don't talk about Jesus at the family gathering. They may not come over again. Don't talk about Jesus to your loved ones. The devil's going to do everything possible. But here it is going back, and we're going to finish, I promise. If we have the knowledge of being free of guilt and shame and fear and sin, and now we live with the freedom and I can speak whenever I want to about Jesus, wouldn't we want those who don't have that to know and experience the same freedom that you are living in right now? I suspect we may be harassed. We may be mocked. We may be ridiculed. If Jesus is who he is, then we shouldn't be silent either. I can confidently say what will happen to us when we die, because we know Christ, we get to live forever. Wouldn't you want the ones that you love to experience the same things? And I'm not saying pack your bags tomorrow. I'm not saying pick a country and pack up and become a missionary. I'm not advocating for that. But the guy you talk to about your lawn next door, the guy you say, hey, can you watch my house? We have neighbors. Can you watch my house while we're out of town? Sure. Or the person you get your groceries from that you see every Sunday or every week or whatever. Or the waitress that you have at your favorite spot in town. Or the mother, the father, the brother, the sister, the second cousin once removed, third time over. I don't know, whatever else you have. Right? If Jesus is who he is to you, then we can't be silent either. And I'm not asking you to go on the street corners either and say, be saved. But there's got to be something that we got to do. We got to open our mouths. I got to get some reaction. We got to get some reaction, some urgency behind the gospel message. Isn't that true? There's a friend of mine who always makes a comment to me after I preach. He goes, I would hate to have your job. He goes, you have the worst job ever. And it's funny. I can laugh. You can laugh too, okay? He's always asking, you know, how do you do it week in and week out? Get up and then just preach this stuff, this important stuff, and not see reactions. And not see an urgency from people. An urgency that this is life-saving news. How do you do that week in and week out and then not see it? He goes, I sell a product and people have a choice. They have a choice. They either buy this product from me or they don't. If they don't want to buy this product from me, they go to the competitor and they buy that product from the competitor. But with you, this is a choice. There is no choice in this. This is a matter of life and death. We get to have life with Christ when we're all in. If we're not all in, we have death. We either can just do what the rest of the world does and believe in knocking on that wood, or we can take this Jesus stuff seriously. As a 19-year-old, I'm a Christian, 19-year-old. I didn't know who Jesus was. 19 years old, in college, studying. You'd be like, wow, good job. You're studying to be a product designer. Life is good. Pursue your passions, your goals. Be educated. Get in the world. Fight for what you want. I didn't know who Jesus was and what Jesus could do until I read through the Gospel of Mark, and I'm going, wow, are you kidding me? And since then, I know now that God comes in a manger to the cross for our disobedience so I don't experience that kind of death. And because of that, he grants me a place in heaven with him. And because of that, I can live in peace and in freedom, guilt-free, without shame, without anything, and look forward to the day that I get to be with him forever. And then to my friend who asks me, why do you do this every week? Because I will do it week in and week out to remind the people. If we're all in, if we're completely sold out for Jesus, I don't have a choice in the matter. I can't be silent about him. Let's pray. Lord, you are good. You are merciful. You are mighty. And I can't believe, and I will not believe it until I see you face to face. I can't believe you came to this world for me, for each person in this room. I can't believe that you offered forgiveness through your one and only Son. What God would do that? What God would love us that much? So thank you. And this table here before us is a representation of that. Lord, I pray that if we don't understand this grace message, this forgiveness, this mercy, that we ask someone. And we find out more about you. If we're struggling with things that are preventing us from being all in with you, that I pray that we ask leaders, whoever it is, friend, to share more about who you are. Thank you, Lord. You are truly magnificent. And I pray that as we leave this place, I know you will give us opportunities to open our mouth about you. I know you will. So I pray that you give each person courage. I pray that you give us the right words. And Lord, just as today, as I stood here, gosh, I knew I didn't want to be up here. But that's you, Lord. And I pray that we all have the same, because the Spirit has been given to us. It's a deposit to us that we can rely on to speak for us. So thank you for that. We pray this all in your name. Amen.
Those who will be administering the elements